May be seated. It has been requested of me that we would have some time of teaching time. So we will do that, and if that takes the time it does, and if not, we'll have Elder Nick come up and teach us out of Genesis.
So it just seems to me, to us, that today's sermon is worthy of talking about and has stirred things up, and I think that's a good thing. I think it's a great thing. I think that's what the Word of God says and what the Word of God does, and we should take this time to talk about it tonight so we can entertain questions about the sermons. We can take testimonies. We can talk about whatever you think it would be profitable to talk about based on today's sermon. So, have at.
You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. I know we're all out of practice, so if nothing comes, that's okay.
I was out of practice. I forgot to read the scripture and the closing thoughts. So.
Mr. Cunningham, well, you can read the closing thought while he's walking over to Corey then.
Slaves and friends of Jesus, of Christ Jesus, we have been chosen by God for a specific purpose. We were not chosen for any temporal reason, rather that we would go and bear eternal fruit by proclaiming the gospel and making disciples. God has promised to provide all that we need to empower our purpose. So let's get to work for Christ's sake and for the glory of God the Father.
So today was very affirming and really good for me to, it really points me back to what Christ has done in my life, because prior to salvation, when I chose God, right, because this is what I'm going to do, and the fruit of my life was bearing everything for my temporal gain. And then post-salvation, true salvation through Christ, that the only fruit that is taking place is what Christ has done, and not because of my merit or not because of my ability to speak or anything like that, but it's through Christ alone that there's any fruit in my life at all.
I guess I want to ask, maybe since we're in this place of, I guess you'd think about it. You could show your hands, you could talk about it, or you could just hear me and then we can go on. But I think oftentimes, kind of like Cal's testimony in confession, is that we can kind of rest on the laurels of those around us. Because it is true that every time I proclaim the gospel, you all are involved. That's true because I am part of this local assembly, and I'm actually the pastor, and actually your tithes and offerings pay me that I can then do that. It is true that when Brother Donnie goes to the bus station, or Brother Tony, we are all part of that. But sometimes what I think is we can rest on that. Well, it's getting done. Maybe not by me, but at least it's getting done. And I want to caution you about resting in that place. Because you were given, you were appointed, you were chosen for a purpose, Paul, Mr. Peterson. You were chosen. You were appointed with the purpose of you bearing fruit. Fruit that will remain.
Yeah, I just want to give a testimony. Wednesday's my day off of my regular job, and the few times I have, but the times I have spent with Donnie and Tony out at the bus stop has brought so much joy into my life. And I think it was 2 weeks ago when we were talking about staying connected to the vine through our obedience, and you made that comment, and I'm certain we've all who are gods in this room have experienced that joy that we get from proclaiming the gospel. And as we, the psalm that we read this morning and today's sermon just brought all those joyful emotions to me today as I considered today's sermon. So just an encouragement to everyone.
I have a couple thoughts going through my head as we're waiting for someone else. Consider the five solas of the Reformation. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. That last one, for the glory of God alone. And this is a really overarching thing to help us think about, to continue to help us think about this properly. Is God glorified when his people are healthy and wealthy? There's no glory for God in that. Is God glorified because I go to heaven when I die? There's no glory in God for that. Both those things are focused on me. The glory of God is when his gospel is preached, when his name is made great, and more of his elect are brought into the kingdom. When fruit comes, that fruit is not my comfort in life. That fruit is not my comfort in eternity. That fruit is real in this temporal as souls are called into the kingdom, as his name is made great, as his unbelievable plan for salvation is proclaimed, as his mercy and his justice are made known, the truth about him are made known, is made known. So that I say that to help us contextualize what we continue to hear as we have preached through every book that we have preached through. That our purpose is to proclaim the gospel so that God may bear fruit. Not for anything else, no matter what everybody else is saying. All that matters is what the Word of God says. And if everybody else is saying it and it's not doesn't line up with what the Word of God says, it's wrong. And especially if they're on TBN and Daystar.
Especially if it talks about soteriology, what it is to be saved, how's one saved. Especially when it talks about how a Christian life will then be lived. Because see, they're like those Pharisees that go far and wide to get just one proselyte and make them twice the sons of hell that they are. I got three of you. Jay, Julie, Brenda.
So we've covered several of these verses lately where it says something, where Jesus says something to the effect of, whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. And I'm just thankful, again, for slowing down and kind of dealing with that. And, you know, you've made the point many times that that is, when he says that, he's talking about, you know, in relation to the proclamation of the gospel and our service to Christ in making disciples. And I just, again, I mean, like in this verse, it's in the same sentence. Like there's no...
Can't really pull it out of there, can you?
Yeah, well, there's really no other way to...
You can and people do.
Right.
Those that want to twist the scriptures.
So anyway,
it is so good to just go to the scriptures. And Jay, I guess, I mean, hesitate. I mean, I didn't go over it lots because we have looked at it. I reminded us of the verses we've been in, but it's important. It was important for Gary, who was sitting here today, who we just talked at breakfast about his prayer life and him trying to understand what his prayer life ought look like. So I'm sure it was valuable for him.
I guess I'll continue a little bit there because it helps me in another way. We've had the conversation about like the James 5 passage and praying for healing and all these other sorts of things. And sometimes I've struggled with that, whether it's definitive there. And so I'm looking for some negative in the, you know, in the New Testament to say we shouldn't be praying that way. But then what you're showing us is reinforcing over and over the positive of how we should be praying and right. what prayers he promises to answer.
Right.
And so that's helpful.
Praise God. Right. So there's lots of ways not to pray. And I guess I don't, I mean, certainly as pastor elders, we need to help you with that. But what you continue to be shown from the Word of God, not because I'm doing anything, is how we ought pray. The prayers that God will honor. Julie.
So, Jay, you just kind of took what I was going to say, a lot of it. But that was, yeah, big deal.
What's useful about that, though, is remember Julie's background. I saw her today in the sermon nodding her head a couple of times because this isn't what she was raised hearing.
Right. And that's, yes, I've heard those verses so many times and been a part of prayer, of, you know, of praying for something for someone that had nothing to do with who was glorifying to God, but it was for the person. Just being mindful and thankful for the provision. Because I guess that's a component that I don't consider a lot. And I often find myself frustrated with myself for not having a conversation or having a conversation but not saying everything that I intended to say.
Come to me, I'll fix you.
Et cetera.
We'll do this Monday morning quarterback
And it happened just this week. But then I had to stop and consider, how much time did I spend in prayer before I spoke with that person? And I understand we all the time we have impromptu conversations, but this was one I knew was coming.
Good. I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm gonna. There's no such thing, in my thinking. All right, there's no such thing as an impromptu conversation for a Christian. I'm not picking on you. We are always to be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. So there's no such thing as an impromptu conversation. Unfortunately, I have a lot of impromptu conversations. But my prayer ought to be always that I'm ready, that I know God's with me. So, I don't think you were done, were you?
Well, mostly, yeah.
Okay.
Just, yeah. So, duh. Like.
And you were saying you knew this, you knew this one was coming. That's where I cut you off.
Yeah, this conversation that I had was coming, and not a lot of time. Not a lot of time, but why didn't I spend 5 minutes on my knees before I had that conversation?
Yeah. You know, I rarely, I won't say never, because that I can't believe that would be true, but rarely do I go into any meeting without prayer. No matter if that's, hey, Joe is walking up to me and I don't know what Joe's going to talk about. It might be a quick prayer, but then certainly when I meet with you all, we pray at the beginning of the meeting, and I've prayed before you even come. In the morning, I pray over the meetings I know I'm going to have. Brenda.
So I was just thinking kind of about how I grew up, and, you know, I remember somebody even saying, well, I don't wear my religion on my sleeve. And, you know, that's how I grew up, is to be religious, to do the right things, and people will see and will, you know, ask. And so when the called for a purpose point came up, and I was just really, I don't know, that's that light bulb moment, I guess, when you were talking about how the money was set aside. And that really connected with me. I mean, it was set aside for a specific purpose. And just really thinking about how every believer has been set aside for that specific reason. And, you know, I can think of all the other reasons in my life that I'm busy with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just, I don't know, just put that one a little bit, you know, put it at the top. And, oh, yeah. And then the next scripture below it was, chosen to bear fruit, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and all that just really kind of settled in on me. So I was very thankful.
Set aside for a purpose.
Mr. Diamante, Paul.
Tithemi. Placed in a position, given a task. And that's our task.
Pastor, I'm going to go way back just a little bit just to help me understand.
Talk just a little bit louder.
Yes.
Or closer.
Yes. I'm going to go way back from verse 16. Actually, back to verse 5 and 6.
Oh, no.
But I'm trying to follow you because of the 11. So I know I'm on 16. I'm on track with verse 16. But my mind is just thinking, why did he mention that, you know, if anyone doesn't abide in me, to the disciples, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up? I know what the fruit is. I know what the fruit should remain. And I know what the fruit he's talking about is here that will last. But what was his... Yes, so what was he trying to say to the disciples?
Yeah, so there's two things I think you can take from that. One is that if you don't bear fruit, then you aren't even a Christian. And we know that what that means is we're going to be, that the non-Christian's going to have be burnt up for all eternity in the fire of hell. It also might mean that if a Christian does not bear fruit, that they will die. You'll die. Your life on this earth will end because you're doing no good. It might mean that. I want to be careful with that. Even though it might mean that, I want to be careful what that might do in somebody's mind. But in Corinthians, it talks about taking, people were dying because they were taking the Lord's Supper. Christians were dying because they were taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. So that's why some were sleeping. That's why some were dying and sick. So they wouldn't keep taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Well, if you're going to keep being a worthless piece of a branch, then you're done. Now, again, be careful because, well, then, I'd rather be in glory, so I'll just stop. Well, that kind of thinking tells me you're not even a Christian.
What got me about the sermon this morning is God chose me and I didn't choose him.
Yeah, so, right. And he chose you. If you're a Christian, he chose you, and he chose you for a purpose. You certainly didn't choose him. And that's new for some people. It's kind of old for us, but it's what we need to hear is, and we were chosen for a purpose. Not just that God is sovereign. But there's a reason that we were chosen.
Just kind of a confession and an encouragement all in one. You know, when I think of preaching the gospel, I think of proclaiming the gospel to people that are in my life that I need to do that to, that I don't. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking of those people that, you know, I need to be preaching the gospel to. But I'm also very thankful for the way that we've been equipped to pass out tracts and have tracts ready, which is also preaching the gospel. And I'm, you know, by God's grace alone, I'm able to encourage everyone to hand a thank you card to everyone that you see. You know, my opportunities, you know, this week to verbally preach the gospel, I, you know, might have done one out of 20, but my, you know, thank you card passing out was probably 19 out of 20. And
great.
I'm thankful for that.
Yep, and that's not just passing out tracts. That is, if they read that, but as far as you're concerned, because the same thing if they're listening. You are giving them the gospel when you hand them a tract. They're receiving the gospel when they get a tract. Whether they read it or not is no different than whether they listen when you're telling it to them. You have no control over that.
I was most thankful for Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Mostly, you know, I, especially where I am today, this feeling of complete inadequacy and unpreparedness and inability to do all the things that are in front of me, from going to Kenya and teaching men who preach every week how to preach. From me is like, okay.
Don't worry, you'll preach one of these days. You'll have lots of experience.
And I'm just thankful that I don't have to look inside of me for that power. Or thinking about Saturday, you know, my toes still cringe and my teeth grit, and I want to come up with every and any excuse to how to be somewhere else or how to do something else. And the end of the sermon, of being reminded that it's through prayer that I am to be diligent in prayer, and that He's promised to give power and strength and help, and I can trust in that and walk in that. So that was all very encouraging and very helpful to me.
So I'm going to give you a special instruction that's you've gotten before, I'm sure, but it's special, specific. This Saturday is the St. Paddy's Parade that we're going to. I would encourage everyone that's going to have a special time of prayer that morning. That you would have a special time of prayer focused on what you were going to about to go out and do. That you don't just show up Saturday morning to wherever we're meeting or unprepared in prayer. Be prayerful. You know, in the closing thought, after the closing thought, before the last closing thought, I alluded to something along the lines of your job, my job, our task is far more important than Donald Trump's, far more important than the Supreme Court, I think I said, and I think I said Oprah. Do you believe that? Do you understand that? Do we really understand that? Look, we look at these people like they're really important. And we get all tied up on who's going to get elected and who's going to be Supreme Court justice and what law is going to get passed and what law is not going to get passed and what the direction of our country. And we have a much more important job. And then I went on to talk about, Cal, your job is far more important as an ambassador than it is as a commodities broker. You mothers, your job is far more important as an ambassador than as a mother. Now, you will be an ambassador as a mother, is the point I'm trying to make. You have a job and a calling that is special. Unbelievers are parents and ought to parent well. But the main thing in parenting well is that your children would know the gospel. That's the main thing you can do in parenting. You have a far more important job coming up. Connor, you have a far important job now than one that might be coming. Yes, you're going to be a husband, an important task, an important calling. For a believer, it comes with some responsibility, and you ought to be prepared for that. But being the ambassador for Christ, you already are, and that's more important. Your marriage is important only as it's an ambassador for Christ, only as it's a picture of the gospel. So what do you think about that? Is your what God has appointed you to, chosen you, and elected you? We elected Donald Trump. Well, this country did. No, I don't mean that like I don't want him. I'm just saying election. He was elected. He was chosen by the people of this country to be our president. And that's an important job, isn't it? It pales in comparison. What will he do as president that has eternal value? Oh, he'll keep prayer in schools. Really, that's eternally valuable? To have a bunch of children who don't even know the Lord pray so they think they do? You have a job. I have a job. Fruit that will last for how long? All eternity. As best I can tell, my brother will spend eternity with Christ in glory. That's going to last. I've invested money for people and lost it and made it and done a lot of coach basketball and help kids or whatever. There is none of that that is eternal. This is eternal. This eternal fruit. This is my joy. This is my glory. This is my hope. I desire for you to be able to say that about people in your life. But it's not going to happen. Because I will tell you, the number of gospel conversations I have had and the amount of success, I mean, it's less than 1%. I mean, it's less than probably less than a half of a percent. I don't know, probably less than a tenth of a percent. I don't know, can't do the math that well. But if nothing else, this makes it all worth it. If nothing else. It gives me great joy. It is my joy. I want, and God would say, to experience that. I want that for you. God wants that for you. The joy of that. And the joy that comes just from being obedient, regardless of the outcome. Because see, at the end of the day, I don't even know the outcome. I don't know if he'll be in heaven. I can't know that. It's my joy. I don't know who got the microphone. Somebody just did, Donnie.
So I'm very edified and it's very humbling by the sermon today. And my mind immediately go to the time when Noah was a preacher of righteousness and how he preached the gospel and not one soul was converted. That his sole purpose was to glorify God and the joy that was set before him, obviously, salvation of sinners. Only eight people, that small remnant, God chosen, and the rest of the world he destroyed. And having that reality, and as I go out, God uses me as his vessel of mercy to go out. I have that mindset that, Lord, it's all your glory. My desire is not to do anything in my power, but to glorify God and trust in the sovereignty in that. And just, it's just so peaceful understanding that from my perspective, anyone can be saved. And no matter how much I preach the gospel, God is going to save his people. So I just want to encourage you all that even if God don't convert anyone you talk to, that God has already chosen his people and he will save. His word will not return void. Feelings will come, but practicing, continue to die to those feelings and let the truth lead you and guide you. Be convicted and convinced that his word is true and only by the power of the Spirit that's possible. Being dependent upon it.
Beckham and Layton, what was happening to those people outside of the ark? We looked at this all week, didn't we? What was happening to them? They were drowning. What do you think they wish they could do? As they're out there drowning, what would they like to have done? Climbed on the boat, right? And there was a way on that boat, wasn't there? What was it? There was one what on that boat? There was one door. One way to safety from the wrath of God. And who is that one door for you? To safety from the wrath of God. Jesus. See, Beckham and Layton and Sophia and our children don't need some fun story about the ark and they know the rainbow and it's good they know the rainbow. God promised to never destroy the earth by water again. He will by fire. But what they ought to know is of Noah being a preacher of righteousness. See, everyone you know, when judgment comes, they're going to be outside clamoring saying, I wish I could get in. And Noah could say, their blood's not on my hands. I told them to get on. See, we love ourselves so much that we don't want to be hated as we tell people the truth. Or we don't even believe the truth.
Speaking of Noah and the ark, just let everybody know that tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, Answers in Genesis is broadcasting on YouTube the interview or the debate between Ken Ham and Bill Nye when Bill Nye went to the ARC exhibit the second day it was open. They're broadcasting that for free on YouTube and on Facebook Live tomorrow. So if you want to watch that, you don't have to buy the DVD to see it.
Anyone else? Is everyone encouraged? Any chastening happening today? I hope so. I hope we're being purified. I hope we're being made in the image of Christ.